is digital marketer.
This week, it's Angela Henderson.
Hello, and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Snavely, and today's episode is all about challenge marketing. You've probably seen these all over the place. You got your three-day juice challenge, your five-day teeth brushing challenge. That's probably somewhere out there. Your 30-day, month-long yoga challenge. The question is, how do you create a challenge that engages your customers while also priming them to buy? I think too often in challenge marketing, you've got one without the other. It's way too product-focused, or it's very engaging, but purposeless. So today I talked with Angela Henderson to answer that question. She got her start in e-commerce. She went into blogging. After that, she was named one of Australia's top 25 leading influencers, eventually signed with Netflix as one of their top 30 Australian bloggers. And now she's a business coach and consultant. And if none of that is enough, a challenge marketing expert. If you're ready to get a little more human with your customers, keep on listening. So, Angela, what's crack-a-lackin'?
What's crack-a-lackin'? Well, yeah. Listen, it is summer over here in Australia. So as we were saying pre-recording, it is super hot here. Also, school wraps up for the next 7 weeks in Australia. So the juggle is going to be real between running the business and, you know, the world of kids plus holidays. So we're getting into the festive spirit, but equally the juggle is about to start. That's what's cracking over here in Australia.
That's wild. So the kids will get out for summer. During the holiday break, I never even thought about how that's different. Everyone from Australia listening to this will be like, I hate you, Jenna. I've never thought about that.
So obviously back home in Canada and for you in the US, you guys get like kind of the end of June wrap up and you've got all of July and most of August off. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously your good summer. And so, yes, but our summer starts the middle of December and we'll go through all the way till around January 28th, I think, is when we'll kick back off this year. So our summer, it's pretty much beach time here in Australia.
That's awesome. I want to have Christmas on the beach. That sounds great.
Christmas on the beach. It took me a little, being from Canada, it was a little hard to get used to because they eat a lot of seafood over in Australia, obviously, because we are an island. Whereas I'm used to warm mashed potatoes and gravy and, fires and marshmallows where they're like, here, have another mango and some cherries. Merry Christmas. So it did take a little while for me to get used to it.
That's so different.
so different, but it's fun. The kids love it. We have these beautiful fruit platters that we bring out, and there's some beautiful desserts over here in Australia called pavlova with whipped cream and fresh fruit on top. So it's still very magical. And when you have kids, I also say that's how can it not be magical on Christmas morning?
Yeah, I love that. Christmas is magical. Well, let's kind of dive into things. So number one, let's address your amazing accent, which is no accent and every accent combined. Kind of what's your background? Where do you come from? Tell me about your life.
Sure. Yes. So I initially grew up in Canada, which Canada will always be home. If anyone, knows me, knows that I'm a huge Canadian here. But then my mom decided at the nice age of 14 to rip me out of Canada away from my high school and friends and move me to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We were only supposed to be there a year because she was a travel nurse. We ended up being there for all of my high school and all of my undergrad. And at that stage, I flew into Australia to do my master's in social work. Went back to the US to do my clinical prac, but then ended up marrying the Tasmanian from Australia. And I've been now back in Australia since 2006. So a third of my life in Canada, a third in the US, and now officially a third in Australia.
Wow, you're hitting them all.
Hitting them, boom. Yes,
yeah, every continent. So you have a background in social work. Tell me how you came to be a marketer.
So social work was just, I love working with individuals with mental health and substance abuse, but there was something more I felt. So my little one, when he was one, I was just looking down at the toys he was playing with. Everything was electronic. And I just remember my own childhood growing up. And I said, there's got to be other toys available for kids out there. And that's where my first e-commerce business started. We had 1,400 different products at any one time as we started to grow there. And we focused on creating childhood memories through play, love, and travel. And then I decided that I didn't want to just be dependent on that one income stream. And that's when I started blogging for the needs of my ideal client purchaser, I guess you could say, which is the mother. So obviously my ideal client was those little kids, but they're not the ones that are forking over the credit card. So I started to survey my audience, and it became very apparent that loneliness in motherhood was very real. We had depression and anxiety in moms, and I started blogging. And from there, yeah, I became one of Australia's leading parenting bloggers. I was signed with Netflix and a few other big brands here in Australia and international brands. And yeah, that's where my marketing journey started.
That's amazing. So really, it's like your love of people and your love with connecting with others that kind of led you into this space. How do you think that has helped you grow as a marketer and a consultant and grow others' businesses?
I think it's been imperative. I think in a world where technology and automation is going, you know, kind of next level, you could say, and don't get me wrong, there's a place for automation and all that. I 100% agree with that. But I do believe the old will become the new again. People are missing that human element, that human connection. And I'm really big about human to human marketing, which is really about the experience and interaction one faces with a particular brand. Sometimes you might have an interaction, but you don't really have that warm, nice experience. Or sometimes you might have an experience, but the interaction is really horrible. So I really am big about building those connections. And through marketing, those individuals that I connect with and treat like human beings versus just a transaction, they become my individual mini marketers. People are taking me in different groups. People are then referring me. So there's so many other beautiful benefits when you do focus on that human element.
Yeah, I love that you call it the human element. And that also kind of brings us to the general topic for today that I really wanted to talk to you about. And I'm sure everyone listening has, I mean, obviously you saw the title. You're listening for a reason. But challenge marketing, it's such a huge way to engage. Tell me a little bit about how you've seen success and what challenge marketing can do for someone.
So challenge marketing is really just looking at how can you create a 3-day, 5-day, 7-day, really juicy challenge that is going to help solve a problem for your particular ideal client. And what I found is by instead of a webinar where you've got a short 60-minute type of scenario, you're able to build additional trust, rapport, and credibility over those 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, whatever you choose your challenge. So for me, the challenge has so many amazing benefits just from building your credibility, authority, and trust. But it's also such a beautiful selling factor because through that time, you're building the runway of, again, through your knowledge and information to be able to lead them into one of your products. And so for me, challenge marketing, I've seen success not only with growing my email list, growing my community, but obviously that additional profitability too.
Yeah. So if we were going to break down challenge marketing into, I guess, the assets that you would need. Well, first you have to decide on what the challenge will be. And I feel like there's a lot of marketers probably listening right now that are worried that maybe introducing a challenge and giving a customer that solution might turn them off from buying the product. So if they already get the solution, then why would they buy? So how do you make sure that you're giving away just enough, but still keeping them, you know, on the hook?
Yep. So for me, what I found is still, I always lead with adding value first. And so if you give something of value, no matter, again, if it's a 3-day, 5-day, 7-day challenge, people are always going to still have in the back of their head, like, dang, if she can give that much juicy information, then what is the paid offer going to be? So obviously you're not giving them all the how-tos. So when I do my 3-day challenge on how to increase sales and get more clients through challenge marketing, I walk them through what is the offer they're going to create? What is the topic they're going to create? How long will the challenge run through? So I explain to all of them. And so they're going to still have the skeleton of the absolute challenge and everything is there. But I'm not showing them each of the individual, like there's 10 steps within each of those primary steps. I'm not giving them all the how-to. Are they still walking away with a blueprint of exactly, do you mean their challenge? Or is that all set and ready to go 100%? But the how-tos are then when I do the offer and they work with me and we nut everything out else for them.
Okay, that makes sense. So number one, I just love how meta that is. You do a challenge for challenge marketing. So if you're going to start just step one, what's the first step that you're going to do for your marketing challenge?
See, marketing challenge. So I guess I do want to say that challenge marketing can be for e-commerce and service-based businesses. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, service-based businesses, they get everything and us e-commerce businesses kind of miss out. Whereas challenge marketing, I initially heard about it here on ProBlogger in Australia by Jada Selner back in, I think it was 2014. And I was actually primary e-commerce at that stage. And I thought, well, hold on a minute, there's got a way I can kind of maneuver this and make it work for e-commerce. And I was able to do that. And so what I was able to do there was 30 days, 30 ways of Christmas cheer, because I knew my moms were struggling with creating that connectedness with their kids going into Christmas because everything is so busy. And what I did is I created for every day, I gave a little snippet of a Christmas activity they could do with their kids. But I then positioned a product placement at the bottom of each challenge every single day. So what I did is I was seeding them for those 30 days with 30 different products. And at the end, I then offered them a 20% off discount coupon code to use at the end, which then obviously increased my sales dramatically for that particular year going into Christmas. So I do just want to kind of give that as an example, Jenna, in regards to that it can be used equally for e-com as it can for service-based businesses.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. And also if we did do an e-commerce one, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, for some you might drip it, but let's say you have one core, you know, let's say you sell a vitamin. How would you construct that challenge?
Mm-hmm. So I would obviously, what is that vitamin doing for the particular individual? How is it helping them? What are the core benefits that, again, what is their pain and how are you going to resolve it with that vitamin? So if I was going to be working with, say, I do work with a naturopath and we've just done a 3-day challenge in regards to burnout and adrenal fatigue for her. And so what we did there was, is we broke down what were all the barriers that people were facing. We created a beautiful checklist so that they could start assessing where they were on that particular spectrum of burnout. We gave them some tools and mechanisms about what they could do. And then her offer was booking into a discovery call and then product placement with the vitamins and solutions that she has there.
Interesting. Okay. So basically what you're doing is you're choosing one solution, one aspect of a solution that your product can have and focusing on that. And the challenge doesn't always have to be using the product. It can just be tangentially related to the product or service. Okay. So step one, you kind of figure out what your offer is. And step two, the solution, the angle.
Exactly right. Because you're not just doing this for fun and giggles, right? You're doing it because obviously you want an ROI in creating this beautiful challenge that is going to not only, again, bring those people on that buying journey, but convert into a customer for whatever your offer is at the end. So really think about, what is your offer going to be? Is it going to be a 10% off coupon code? Is it going to be a discovery call? Is it going to be into your new course that you're launching? Is it going to be into how to set up your podcast? You know, you really have to think about, what is your offer at the variant. Sometimes your offer, for those of you that are like, well, I might not have an offer, you might just want to be building your email list. My very first time that I ran my challenge with Finley and me, we had 2,500 people sign up in those 14 days. So it was a very big list builder for me, in addition to just creating, not just selling something at the end. So think about, what does your business need right now from an ROI in order to increase your own sales and get more clients, and then work backwards from there.
Oh, I love that. Because yeah, you could be like, oh, we have this amazing end of the year sale and it's going to be huge. But if only I had more people on my list, that's a great way to do that. So all right, let's dig into some of the meat. What's the next step after?
And the next step is obviously thinking about, what hook are you going to get in regards to a topic? So you really have to think about, what topic are you going to be creating that when you start promoting this to your current email list or in your Facebook groups or in your own podcast or whatever, people are like, dang, I want a piece of that. I need to get in because this is the problem. This is the exact problem I have. What can I do? And some examples of this is a friend of mine, Stevie Dillon. She did a free challenge called the Complete Roadmap to Social Media Success. And she was mapping out all the different elements of social media and how you piece those together. Another one, a friend of mine, Emma and Carla Pappas, they did the Lunch Break Challenge, and they are all about, they run a online segments that's their paid offer for Pilates and yoga. And so they were doing a Lunch Break Challenge because they know a lot of their ideal clients don't get up, don't get moving, and they're not utilizing their lunch break the way they should. And so then they were able to create, that was their topic to then feed them in, which was then their course and their offer after that. So you really have to be thinking about first your offer. And then the second bit is, what is my topic going to be? What is the hook going to be? And it's really important that, again, it's something juicy, something that stands out, and something that involves their current pain with the solution at the end.
I love that. I find it interesting that, especially for that Pilates challenge, that it's like you give them a specific time to do the challenge. You tell them exactly what they're doing. Do you find that the most successful challenges are ones that are more specific?
It's kind of like with niching, right? The more specific you are, the better your cohort of people that are going to be in there are. And so, for example, if you are doing something for Pilates and yoga, you might get runners in there, but probably not. You're really niching down, which means if you're niching down and your offer is how to stay healthy through Pilates and yoga, you're going to then have a higher conversion rate. So the more niche and the more specific you can be, better. And also remember, it's not all about just getting numbers. So many people are just numbers. You're much better having 1,000 true fans than you are having 100,000 people that are never going to buy to you. So don't be scared to niche on a specific topic in order to get a smaller cohort of people who are more likely to become your buyers.
That's awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then what's the next step after that?
The next step, it's really important then to decide what your ideal client can kind of tolerate in regards to time frames. So for example, when I'm working with women in business as a business consultant, I know that my ideal client is also a mom. So she's trying to juggle a million things. So by running a 5-day, 7-day or 10-day challenge, I'm going to see a lot of drop off with these particular individuals because they just can't keep up with doing 5 days, 7 days, etc. So you have to decide on how long will your challenge run for based on the needs of your ideal client. So for my current cohort, 3 days is kind of prime for me. It's longer than a webinar, but not too long that they're going to start to drop off. So when I first started, Finley and me, and we were doing those 30-day challenges, they were really great, but we did see probably drop off hit around day 10. And then we started to see our numbers drop. We still had an enormous amount of people engaged, but just remember, the longer your challenge, the higher the risk that people will drop off. The shorter the challenge, you've got a higher chance that they're going to stick around because it's only a short amount of time. So you just have to think about what your ideal client needs and what that end result is going to be for them.
Could you do a 1-day challenge, or does that not make any sense?
To me, I think a 1-day challenge would be as similar to a webinar, right? Is it's just like a 1 day in, you're presenting something probably on video or via email, and then it's kind of done and dusted. If you've got a super warm audience, or even some of them are hot clients who've already purchased from you, that may work. But in my experience with the lead up to the challenge, you know, you're promoting it for a good solid 2 weeks, you're really bringing in a lot of cold people into your ecosystem. And because of that, you need a longer runway to build that trust and credibility. And also, depending on what you're selling at the end, if it's a high ticket item, you're going to need multiple touch points for that person in order to convert. So again, a 1-day challenge, I'm not too sure. I think it would be very similar to a webinar. And again, it depends on your audience and where they're at in the buyer journey.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I mean, I feel like a one-day challenge was like me trying to do a juice cleanse. That's how long I lasted. And I didn't go back for it.
Yeah, exactly. And also what people say, you could do like the 5-day juice challenge. But do people really want to juice it up? Probably not. And that goes back to the topic. If it was something like how to lose a pant size in 5 days, people might be like, okay, dang, I'm in, because I want to lose a pant size. But most times, again, if people are like 5 days, 5 ways of drinking juice, you're like, yeah, you've probably lost me at the topic. So that's where that hook really comes in, is what are you promising them at the end of the challenge? And that's where that's so important with your topic.
Yeah, you have to have a benefit, not just 5 ways of drinking juice. I'm like, okay.
You're like, next. Drinking,
I guess. In a cup, in a glass, pour it into my hands and sip it.
You're like, okay, how is this exactly? But if you're like, man, 5 days of, do you know what I mean, dropping a pant size, and it might be talking about juice as one of those days, right? But it's not just a juice challenge, because people don't really need a juice challenge. That's not their problem. Their problem is, particularly in that instance, it could be weight, right? So it's like, how are you going to help me in this weight loss journey? What is it going to look like? And then what their offer could be is into their program at the end of that. You know, if you've lost a dress size or a pant size in, you know, 3 days or 5 days of doing this challenge, can you imagine what it's like if you join my course now?
Yeah. Okay. I love that. That makes sense. What do they do after that?
So obviously we've got a really great offer. We've decided what we want. We've got this beautiful and hooking topic. We've decided on how long the challenge is going to run for. And then you need to decide on how are you going to deliver this challenge? And what I mean by delivering it is some people will just deliver it via email. So they might have a video and it's attached inside of the email and that is how they deliver it. Some people might choose to deliver no video and just email. Or what I found that works best is a combination of how you're delivering it because people learn in different ways. People connect in different ways. So what I do is I deliver a daily email with a workbook inside attached, like their little homework that goes with it so that they can solidify what they've learned for the day. And then I also then do a live video in my Facebook community. So that's the community part, but they're also hearing me, seeing me, and I'm teaching them, and they're also able to read it. So I'm really looking at how do my ideal client learn best in order to decide how you're going to deliver the challenge to your audience.
Do you have any recommendations for the type of delivery for the type of challenge or the topic?
Yeah. So I guess it goes back to your ideal client. Where are they sitting? If they, for example, are auditory, you potentially could like use your podcast platform, right? If you know that that's how they're going to consume information. So it's not necessarily about the challenge or the topic. It's more about knowing your ideal client and how they're going to learn best is what I would say when it comes to that particular question.
How do you keep people accountable?
So that's where the Facebook group for me really comes in. And also on my daily emails, I'll ask them a question like, let's just say, what is your offer is what I teach on day one. So I might just say, hit reply and let me know what your offer is going to be. And I'll give you some coaching along the lines if it's going to fit for you or not. So that's one way to keep them accountable. The other way is on my Facebook video, I'm getting them to comment with what their next step is going to be in regards to like say hashing out their topic or hashing out their offer. And then we just get the community starting to be really engaged. So the more people I can get into that Facebook community and sparking those conversations, because I believe conversations equal conversions and equal that community, that's where it comes in. So the accountability is really driven through email responsiveness and in addition, the Facebook community.
Okay. Do you find it's better to differentiate the way you're expecting them to communicate with you? Or is it better to let them know exactly, here are the steps. We send out an email every day, go into the community, answer this. Or is it better to be like, oh, I have this random video, comment now? Like, should they be expecting what you're going to do?
Gotcha. So you're asking, are we seeding them along the way? So before the challenge actually starts, they'll get an email with all of this information. So what happens is they will sign up for the challenge through a registration page. That then goes to their thank you page. They then get a welcome email. And then we also send an additional email 24 hours before the actual event starts with all of this information. Don't forget to join our Facebook community. Don't forget the videos are going to be going live. Don't forget you're going to have your daily homework. So we've already preceded everything that's going to be involved in the challenge so that we've already got them understanding what the expectations of the challenge are, that this is a doing challenge versus just like sitting there sipping juice, right? So we're already seeding them before that it actually starts.
There's someone with a juice company listening that's like, hey, I thought it was a good idea.
They'll be like, we'll be getting hate mail potentially by the end of this episode.
Right. So are they always free or do you ever have a paid challenge?
I don't, but I do know friends that have. And so whenever you get someone paying, regardless if it's $5, $10, $20, you've obviously just moved them from being a cold or warm client to a hot client, which means they're ready. They want more from you. It goes back to is what is it that you're wanting to achieve from a particular challenge? I typically want to be able to start building my community more. I want to be able to help as many women and business owners as I can with still being profitable. So for me, my ROI is about knowing that they might not buy from me now, but it's a long-term investment for me. So I guess it really comes down to individual businesses and what their ROI is for that particular challenge.
Got it. Okay. So it seems like, you know, we've got our avatar, we've got our hook, we've got our offer, we've got opening, the delivery. All that's left is the close, unless I'm skipping a step.
No. The only other thing that I would say in there is once you delivered it, remember is so many times, again, the way people learn is that if you're just teaching something and you don't have them go away and do a homework step, even if it's just like fill in one sentence, then sometimes they don't retain that information. So my only other step there that I would add is in your challenges, what is your daily homework exercises? what are they going to look like? So literally, so day one, when I do my challenge, is they need to tell me the next day and work out what is their offer and what is their topic. That's all I want them to do. They don't have to spend copious amounts of time. Then the next day, I want them to tell me how long will their challenge run for and what is their delivery method for the challenge. That's their homework. So that's the final step there, is in regards to what homework are you going to give them every day, and or are you not going to give them homework? Again, I don't know your ideal audience enough to know what will work and what won't work for them. But it's just those little homework exercises to keep them engaged. And then they share that in the Facebook community. People start talking, and our trust and credibility continue to go through the roof.
That's awesome. So they have something small every day that they have to do, a little homework or exercises, and then the close comes. So what does that close look like?
See, so the close for me, then obviously we wrap up, I'll do a Q&A at the end. And then I'll also say, if you guys really enjoyed this now, and then what is the offer, right? So I could be leading into my 12-month group coaching program. I could be leading into my one-to-one. I could be leading into a discovery call. I could be leading into a discount coupon. And that comes, I will talk about that in my Facebook community on the video, but I equally then will put that into an email campaign. So then technically you're almost opening cart, depending again, what it is you're selling, for 7 days post-challenge.
Okay. 7 days post-challenge. The cart's open. And is there anything special you have to do with the page or anything? Like, do you have to make it challengey?
Are you talking about like a sales page? Or are you talking
about?
So I guess your sales page for me is I always work with conversional copywriters, because it's those type of particular copywriters. There's a variety of copywriters that might write really good website, or they might write really good blog content. But what I found in my experience over being in business now for almost a decade is that conversional copywriters are taking the pain points of the individuals that are going to be buying from us and moving them on a journey to converting them to that end result. So to me, is my sales page is just that. Well, I'm working with a conversional copywriter to really hone in on their pain points, talk to them about the benefits, have bonuses, and then the scarcity. Because again, with the bonuses, as we have, these bonuses are going to expire within X amount of days, and we'll take those bonuses away. Or we might add a new bonus, which could be we're now offering payment plans, you know, 2 days out. So it just really depends on, again, how long you're going to open cart for, and what your bonuses are, and what, again, what is your high ticket item? Is it a high ticket item, or is it a $97 item? Is it 10% off coupon code? Depending on what that is, you're going to need some really robust nurture sequence, email sequence in there to, again, bring them to that final conversion.
Is there a price point that you recommend for any kind of challenge? Or let's say maybe a particular day. So a 3-day challenge, maybe 97, a 5-day challenge, higher. Do you have recommendations for that?
Listen, I've never done paid challenges. All of mine have always been free, because I've been all about list building and then doing the offer at the end. And so for me, as you have to split test it. I believe everything will come down to testing. And so if you're wanting to start doing a paid one, you might start off at $49 to come on my 5-day challenge, or you might start at $99. Again, you'll know your audience better than anyone else, but it will always come down to split testing. If you try the $49 and no one buys, then you're going to have to go back, well, maybe people don't want this, or there's not enough value perceived in it. So I guess I can't give a solid answer on that, Jenna, because there's so many variables that contribute to what people are looking for or not. If you've got a really juicy opt-in page that talks about all those values, about what the challenge is going to offer, you know, we're going to do this, 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 and this, then people are going to go, dang, of course, take my credit card. But if you just have an opt-in page that says, sign up here with your email address and this, and it doesn't show any of the values, I think it's going to be really hard to then have a price point attached to that, because people aren't going to see the perceived value there for them to hand over the credit card.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of those. You mentioned case studies earlier, and I'd love to talk through some of those. So what does success look like?
So yeah, so a good friend of mine, Zach Spuckler, ran the free 5-day live training challenge, which also he does challenge marketing too. And it was build a 5-day challenge you can flip into a 5-figure launch. So obviously very specific. He's wanting to help people create their launch. His offer for this particular challenge was going to be leading into his course. He had 2,200 people sign up for this particular challenge, 55 people purchased, which was a total of $54,835 USD. So his conversion rate on that particular challenge was 2.5%. So that's one example of an offer being a course, how many people signed up, and again, very specific, build a 5-day challenge you can flip into that 5-figure launch.
That's awesome. The course thing I find really interesting because the course itself could be some of the content in the challenge. Is it easier if you have a course to create a challenge because you already have the content?
It could be, yes. And again, is that what your ideal client is wanting? So for Zach, what he knew is it wasn't about the course, it was about the launch. A lot of people had some really juicy courses already banked up for them, but they were really struggling with how the heck do I get this out to market, right? Whereas I know another person though, she does a challenge in regards to 5 days to getting your course on paper, right? But it's the how-tos that are going to come in that final offer. She then is going to talk to them about what platforms to choose when they buy her offer, right? She's going to talk about all the tech that goes in between it. She's going to talk about what type of emails, what type of sales page. So for her in that instance, she's teaching them, yes, to the 5-day challenge about how to get your course out of your brain and onto paper, but she's not giving them the how-tos until they buy her actual offer at the end of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Okay. What about some of the e-commerce ones?
So the e-commerce ones, I was thinking about this the other day, is obviously Pam is my naturopath that I was talking to you about, and hers was going into the product of her vitamins, but also her product of the service base. So hers was a combination between doing some assessment of what was going on with that particular individual and then doing the product in conjunction. Another particular person that I thought would be really great is Pat Flynn. We know that he just launched the Switch Pod just recently this year. And one of the things that Pat also has is very known for is videos and also creating podcasts. So there's a two things that Pat potentially could do, say with an e-commerce based product like what he has now, is he could talk about how to get your video marketing up and running within 5 days, or how to create your first video online in 5 days. And he would walk you through the steps of doing that. But at the end of that, his offer is going to be the Switch Pod, right? So he's giving you value about that. But his tool at the end is what's really going to help those individuals along the way, because they're going to be able to capture video anywhere they go. So that is an example that I would be doing with Pat's new product that he has. And then obviously, like you said, for me, one of my challenges that I did was 30 days, 30 ways to connect with your children. That was my e-commerce with Finley and me. We seeded that with product every single day. And then we then offered them a coupon code at the end. So between product placement, coupon codes, and then obviously the courses. So a friend of mine, the one that did the complete roadmap to social media success, hers was a course at the end. She had 2,500 people sign up. She had 160 people purchase, and her conversion was 95,000. So 6.4 conversion. So you know, those are some of the different examples that you could be using both with e-com and service-based business.
Yeah, it's so much more of an exciting way to send out an offer.
Yes. Well, and it's also that offer, as we know, is if you've got a lower ticket item, you don't need as much runway. If you've got a higher ticket item, they need multiple touch points in order to know that you're the right person that can help them in their journey.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about resources a little bit, because I know we have people with all kinds of team sizes that are listening. Some are solopreneurs, some are the CEOs themselves, some are, you know, running marketing teams, and some are the marketers themselves. So when it comes to scale, like what kind of resources do you definitely need at the smallest size? Resources like someone to monitor a Facebook community, someone to, you know, write all the email sequences, that kind of stuff.
So when I first started with Finley and Me, my team was exceptionally small at that stage. So our graphics were done on Canva. So again, Canva, it was free back then. So our graphics were done. We then, like, our sales page was very minimal, because again, at that stage, we were just testing it. I ran the Facebook community. The emails were created by me. Like, everything was done by me. And so you can, if you're a solopreneur out there, this is easily achievable by you being able to do your graphics, set up your challenge, do your email sequence, open your offer. Very, like, at the very basic, the simplicity there. Now, if you are a CEO out there, obviously you're going to have more resources. So then I'm assuming you can delegate the graphics to your graphic designer, potentially. You may even have the tech side of things where people can set up the tech side of things. So this can be achieved for both the CEO or the solopreneur. It just depends on your money and who you can delegate to. And that's what it will come down to, Jenna. Where for me right now is, obviously, I've got a Facebook community manager that helps manage the community. I'm the one that's in there, though, doing the lives. My sales page was created by my conversional copywriter, and my emails were also created by my conversional copywriter. And then the team sets up the tech, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Oh, cool. What happens if you don't want to be on camera?
If you don't want to be on camera, that's when I would go back to that. How are you going to deliver this? And so for you, you might, again, deliver it. It could be an audio only, no video. And you can just give them the link to be able to listen to that. Or you can just do email only with some PDFs and some homework. So you could equally still deliver the challenge without necessarily needing video. Just remember that video adds those additional human elements. They hear you, they see you, and that trust, that credibility is there.
Yeah. That's true. I'm sure a lot of people were like so relieved when you're like, you don't have to be on video. And then when you're like,
I'm like, wah, wah.
But it is the human element. No.
The human element. But again, I always say that if you're listening here and you're going, wow, okay, a 5-day challenge, I can increase my email list. I can increase my branding and my profile. I can also increase my profitability at the end of it. Is, I guess, just again, go back to testing and go what's comfortable. If what's comfortable for right now for you is doing it via email, just do it. I would much rather anyone take action than try to get hung up on all of the like, do I do video? Do I not do video? Just right. Do what works best for you right now, where your confidence is. And as your confidence builds a little bit more and you become a little bit more familiar with challenge marketing, then do the next level. But whatever you do, just take action. Like I said, when I first started with Finley and Me, we had 2,500 people sign up on that very first time. We were getting 2 cents. This is when Facebook was playing very nice. Our cost per lead was 2 cents per lead, right? Like that's basically unheard of from back in the day. Now my cost per lead for my service base is like anywhere from $4 to $5 a lead. So back in the day, it was like our ad budget was very minimal. There was a couple challenges that we just did no ads at all. We just used our community. I teamed up with other people that we collaborated with who had the same ideal client audience, but we weren't competitors with each other. So there's always a way if you're determined to just to figure it out. But whatever you do, take action, because I can promise you challenge marketing is what will increase your overall sales, your customers, and that profitability for growth in your business.
Badass. Angela, if someone wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Yes, the best place to go is just to head to angelahenderson.com.au. And from there, depending on how you consume information, you can either listen to the podcast, you can join my Facebook community, you can read the blogs. There's a variety of other ways that you can connect with me over at, angelahenderson.com.au.
Yeah. Any challenges coming up?
I do have a challenge, but not till March is when we'll do it, because Christmas is kind of the silly season. And then I'm heading over to the US for a little while. So in March, we'll be doing how to increase sales and get more clients through challenge marketing. So where I will go a little bit more in depth every day with homework exercises about how to set up your own challenge.
Perfect. I have a challenge for everyone. Yeah. Set, set a reminder on your phone in late February.
Yes,
to check out angelahenderson.com.au and try out that challenge. Thank you so much for your time. This was just awesome. Before I let you go, there's a question we ask every guest when they're on for the first time.
Yes.
And that question is, if you could go back in time and tell your 25-year-old self, or however old you were when you were starting all this marketing stuff, if you could tell yourself anything at all, what would you say?
I would say you need to invest in the power of play. And what I mean by that is my business grew exponentially when I decided to invest with those people around me. My first one was my mastermind. Well, I did a lot of like little events, so little like kind of seeding, because that's all I could afford. And that still was growing because I was paying to play. I was showing up in other people's arenas, learning from the best. And then I started to invest a little bit more in masterminds. I went to Chris Ducker's over in the US, and now I go to a variety of masterminds. But the sooner you learn that you can pay to play, the quicker your business will grow, the quicker you're going to learn things versus having to go to Google or YouTube trying to stitch everything together. So to me, I would have told myself is invest in yourself and pay to play, because you're also digging into other people's community, other people's resources, other people's connections. You no longer are a number. You become a human face to them. So pay to play all the way.
That's huge. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that advice on this podcast. So I think that's huge. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
For that. Pay to play.
Do it. And March challenge marketing and start a challenge. Just try it. If it's not perfect, you can make it perfect later when you do Angela's challenge.
Totally. Done is better than perfect.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you so much for your time, and everyone that joined us. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your day each week. It means the world. Let us know if you like this episode. Write up a little review. Nice stuff. My dad reads it. and I read it, and, I like nice things. But yeah, we'll see you same time, same place next week. See ya.
See you later, thanks.
Bye.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.